This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Havana, Cuba, the scene of turmoil these many decades. And over these last days, the question is asked, what about the protests we hear in Cuba? I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. The question is the U.S. policy towards Havana, the Biden administration decision-making. There is irony here because it probably was not first, second, third, or 50th on the list of things to be done. But here it is, the protests and the opening. However, that's going to require conversation with both parties. Significant members of the U.S. Senate in both parties are very deeply involved in the fate of the Cuban people. Katrina, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. And The Nation magazine, in its presentation by your colleagues Peter Gornbluh and William Leogrand, are recommending a return to full staffing at the Havana embassy that has been reduced these many years because of security concerns. What are the security concerns, and what is the positive about full staffing? Good evening to you.
Thank you. William Leogrand is the dean of U.S.-Cuban studies relations. Peter Kornbluh, the same. They did a book on back-channel diplomacy going back 50, 60, 70 years. So over the last few years, there have been, quote, acoustic incidents experienced by U.S. intelligence and diplomatic personnel in Cuba. The Nation has just published for the first time a letter, which only a small piece of has been published, by the staff of the embassy. This was in 2017, asking that the State Department, this under Rex Tillerson at the time, the Trump Department, 2017, give the staff the opportunity to decide for ourselves whether to stay or leave. This because of the acoustic security concerns. But despite their determination to remain, Tillerson ordered a severe reduction of embassy personnel, essentially leaving a skeletal staff to handle emergencies. Now, as you said, who thunk that Cuba would be sort of at the top of a Biden presidential review list? But he's finally ordered, the administration of Joe Biden has ordered a review of staffing levels at the U.S. Embassy in Havana. And the decision comes in the wake of the anti-government protests that we've all seen that have forced the administration to put Cuba on its policy agenda. Now, much of this, as you said, John, goes to outsourcing the Biden-Cuba policy. At the top of the administration coming into Robert Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey, and even more important, Marco Rubio, the Republican in Florida. And so I think these anti-government protests have to be looked at very seriously. William Leogrand had a very fine piece about 10 days ago at thenation.com, putting in context. And I'll close here. What we have seen over the years, we saw particularly in 1994 what was called Malecón, the great vista across in Cuba, but Maleconoso, when the Soviets reduced or cut their subsidies. The special period in Cuba was painful, a bigger economic drop than today, blackouts, malnutrition among children. But we are witnessing that today. Some of that speaks to a U.S. policy of sanctions, of forbidding remittances from Cuban Americans going to send home. And of course, COVID has exposed, as it has in so many countries, including ours, the desperate inequality of the medical system, which is leading also the food system, a lot of imports in Cuba. And finally, the anger that is spread because the internet is now certainly more widespread than it was in 1994. And a generation that doesn't really remember the revolutionary upheaval or kind of mobilization. So it's a different time, different policies, And I think a mistake on the Biden administration's part, a terrible, terrible mistake, to outsource the policy to those who I would submit do not represent America's best interests, nor do they represent the widespread majority view of Americans toward Cuba.
Item one, the source of the attacks, if that's what they are, that has not been answered despite a lengthy investigation. Is that correct, Katrina?
That is correct, though there are signs that we now see it not just, I believe this is the case, it is not just in Cuba. It is also in China, the acoustic problems. And what they're calling the Havana syndrome did begin, as you said, with members of the CIA station in Cuba, spread to diplomatic personnel. And, you know, people should know it's a kind of neurological pulsating pressure around the head, along with this metallic grinding in their ears, dizziness, headaches, hearing loss, sleep disorders. But it is the case that it appears now to have appeared in China as well. And it is important to remember that the U.S. ambassador, Jeffrey De Laurentiis, filed a complaint, formal diplomatic complaint, with the Cuban government. And the Cubans, this was Raul Castro then as president, invited the FBI to come to Cuba to investigate. No less than six FBI investigative missions to Havana failed to find any evidence of a cause or culprit for the unexplained injuries. So I don't know if you can still call it the Havana syndrome. It has spread. It seems to be located among CIA personnel, diplomatic personnel. But it is something that the FBI has investigated six times. I don't know, which would be interesting, if there's been a call on the FBI to release full reports of what they found in Cuba.
The Biden administration is now seeing protesters from the diaspora saying you must do something. Now, a mixed signal here. One, lift the embargo. There is no embargo on medicine and foods. However, hard currency is the problem for the regime. Do you believe in full staff? Do you observe that full staffing with the embassy would re-engage the connection with the protesters? In other words, move along the idea of upsetting the regime.
Yeah, but why should the diplomatic personnel from our country be involved in upsetting the regime? I think the strength of a change of regime comes when the people themselves, people in their own country, build protests to a point where there is a change. It's not the U.S.'s role. It is quite astonishing that, you know, over these last 70-plus years, we've taken the policy we have. Cuba is a member of its region, and my memory is that Obama opened up in a way that we thought had the support of a younger generation in Miami among Cuban Americans. What's happened, I think, is it's not just Cuban Americans, John, you follow this, in Miami. It's also the collapse of Venezuela. It's also the return of civil war in Colombia. So you have Colombian Americans, Venezuelan Americans, Cuban Americans in Miami leading a policy that has, you know, been outdated. I think that the people in there is a humanitarian crisis in Cuba,
yes,
which should be addressed. And I think there should be permission of remittances. I believe that's reopened. Again, that doesn't play or help the inequality in Cuba because many Afro-Cubans don't have family in Miami as the white Cubans do. But I think there's a humanitarian reason to reopen and reengage with Cuba. It's not simply our role, it's the role of other countries in the region. And that has hurt Cuba too, as you know, Venezuela's collapse,
yes,
the oil. Brazil's turn to the right with Bolsonaro. Brazil was getting very engaged in Cuba post-Venezuela. And now Russia, as we know, contributed to the special period we spoke about due to its the abolition end of the Soviet Union, no longer permitted any real support, and Gorbachev turned away from Cuba. But there are other, you know, I think Cuba and Russia have reestablished a relationship. There is more money coming in. China has been coming in, as it has around the world, with economic, less ideological engagement.
The call is,
but I think for humanitarian reasons, we should reestablish a better relationship with Cuba. It will lead to a better engagement and maybe a better landscape for those inside Cuba who seek a different way.
Katrina Vandenhovel is the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey, everyone. This is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.